Welcome to another fabulous episode of All the Vegas, presented by Las Vegas Weekly Magazine and The Space, the home of Monday's Dark at Polaris and Harmon, just off the world-famous Las Vegas Strip. Mark, you have performed on Broadway. You performed on the Strip. You performed with massive touring stage shows. Surely, in your career, you've come across an entertainer or two, or a celebrity, or some famous person you admire, and when you met them, you got a little bit starstruck. You got a little worked up, right? Who did that to you?
Wow, that's a good one. I have met a lot of people, and I think it was, you know, when I was first starting out, I first moved to New York City, I was 19 years old, and I interned as an apprentice at the Williamstown Theater Festival in Williams. They put you up at Williams College in Williamstown, Massachusetts. And back then, it was the summer theater festival. Celebrities would go and perform there in the summertime. Gwyneth Paltrow was doing a play, but she was not the one I got all giddy over. We did a show that summer called Princess Turandot, which was based on the opera Turandot. That production was asked to open the summer season at the Westport Country Playhouse in Connecticut, in Westport, Connecticut. And as a new theater kid at the time, I had no idea who was running the Westport Country Playhouse. It was Paul Newman. And when we got to Westport, as a kid who grew up with Slapshot on beta, and Paul Newman walks into the green room and says, "Hey, what's up, yo?" That's the first time it hit me that I was like, "Oh, shit, you're Paul Newman." And that's probably one of the only times I've ever felt like the Kramer.
I mean, how do you not with him? That's up there. It doesn't get better than that.
And what's crazy is I played a eunuch in the play. So I was in like Italian commedia makeup and, I'm a eunuch. Look at me. True story. Paul Newman comes up to me and he goes, "You know, Mark, even though you don't got the you can still go out there and as Paul Newman. So,
how come you've never told me this story before?
I don't know. It's because you just asked me the question.
That was a good question.
You know, now I kind of feel like, you know, we're in a position in Vegas where we're getting all these headliners and big names coming through, and I don't get as giggity giggity anymore. You know, because like, hey, Mark, we need you to host the opening for, you know, whoever. Christina Aguilera, we're closing off the Strip, and Britney's going to be there. And you're like, oh, okay. And it's kind of lost on me a little bit. I don't take it for granted, though.
Yeah.
Because it is really effing cool when I get to be a part of these productions or meet people. But at the end of the day, they're just people, just like you and I, and they're going about their business. They just happen to be on Entertainment Tonight more than us.
Yeah, I feel the same way as you at this point. I've interviewed so many pretty famous people that I don't really get like that from them just because it's my job. And also, like, you know, you don't want to be the insane geek who freaks out when you're supposed to be professional. It's just part of my job.
I think the older I've gotten, the more I appreciate meeting people who are pretty famous in a profession that's not the entertainment business. I appreciate those meetings more now. I don't know if that's a weird thing, but I don't need to meet Brad Pitt, but meeting Elizabeth Blau was really cool. You know what I mean? Like, I actually got more excited, you know, maybe even politicians and businessmen and women who are so, like, I think I'd love to meet Jeff Bezos. You know, and be like, dude, you started freaking Amazon. You know, what kind of conversation we could have with him? You know, Johnny Depp, sure. You're awesome. You're a weird dude who lives in Paris and you have a hot wife. But Jeff Bezos started Amazon. You know, Elon Musk created Tesla. How fucking weird are you? You know, what about you? Have you met anybody that made you go, whoo?
Yeah, there's been a few. But now what happens to me is that I have kind of my own personal celebrities. The people that I get starstruck around are Vegas people, entertainers, and sometimes chefs, and different people that I am totally enthralled with from like one part of one of my favorite shows, like Brandon from Zumanity that we had on the show last year, and like Linda from Magic Mike that I just wrote about in Weekly. So many of those people. It's just like a frozen moment in my head from a show that I just can't get out of my head, and I don't want to get it out of my head. And then when I meet that person, it freaks me out a little bit because they're a big deal to me. And that's kind of what's happening today. You could say I'm a little starstruck because our guest today has definitely given me those moments, those unforgettable moments of discovering true talent in at least two different shows, probably more. One of the most amazing singers doing it on the strip today. You can see her performing in Scott Bradley's Postmodern Jukebox Hideaway at the Mirage right now. The wonderful Jacqueline McSpadden. Welcome to All the Vegas, and thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me. That was quite an introduction, I just have to say.
That's special right there.
Oh, yeah.
I knew where he was going.
Oh, man. Well, that's thank special. You. I'm happy to be here.
Let's pose that question to you.
Yes.
Who has made you, because you've performed with and around some serious heavy hitters, who made you starstruck?
I unfortunately didn't get to meet her personally and shake her hand, but I recently did a gig where I was about 15 feet away from Celine Dion, and that was pretty special. I remember having like little cassette tapes, listening to her on repeat over and over and over again, and then seeing her just standing across the room. I was like, oh, you are a person. Interesting. I mean, she's a magical unicorn, mind you, but still.
I love that.
Just
she
a person.
Is. She is a magical Vegas unicorn.
She is.
She's just.
And she seems like she's the nicest person. She's the most gracious with her performers and just like seemed genuinely happy to be there. And I was like, you are awesome.
June 8th.
I just got invited to the last show.
Oh, so and you're
16 years.
And I'm I feel like I'm not worthy, you know, I'm doing the Wayne's World thing. Like, I shouldn't be there. Somebody else should go to that.
It doesn't seem like it's actually happening.
It's unbelievable what's happening. We had John Nelson at Monday's Dark a few weeks ago. John is the VP of AEG Live and a huge supporter of what we do here. And he brought a mint condition original program from her opening night at Caesars and two tickets to her show for us to auction off.
Wow.
And we sold them for $3,500 for Monday's Dark.
That's a good deal.
It's a steal. If I wasn't away this week that weekend, I'd be there. She is, like you said, a magical unicorn.
Yeah.
And what she's done, and you know, I don't know at that time if it was her doing, but what she has done for Las Vegas is ridiculous. She basically started what we're seeing now all the time.
Yeah.
People want to come and play here. People thought, oh, that's where you went to retire and sing in a lounge. And exactly. She changed that game pretty quick.
Hopefully they will lure her back for another one in the future. She's going to go on tour, and she's got a new album and all that stuff. But hopefully we'll get her.
She's still
really young, too, you know? She's not like Elton John, who's winding it down for reals.
This is the final one.
Yeah, she'll be performing for another 20 years, I would imagine, at least.
We need her.
She's starting her tour up in Montreal. Back in her hometown, and I think she's there for two or three nights before she moves on, and she's going all through Canada and the United States, and she hasn't toured like that in a while.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So it's exciting. She was just overseas, you know, she was doing an Asian tour, which is cool, and she will definitely be missed here in Vegas. I'm glad that you called her a magical unicorn.
She is. She really is. It's like you hear recordings years and years and years, and you think, oh, yeah, you know, like you're in the studio, you can fudge this and that. She's pristine live. It's kind of ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was one that was definitely etched in my mind for sure.
Mm-hmm. Where was the performance that you were a part of?
It was over at the Delano. It was a private event for, couldn't even tell you what company. One of those fun.
She got paid.
It was a big
things.
Corporate gig.
She got paid.
Yeah. Oh. They paid a
big
penny.
Check to get Celine to roll out to your private event.
That's how they do it around here.
That's where you cut back on the appetizers and you put that budget towards Celine.
Right.
Everybody's getting an entree because we got Celine.
No food here.
Exactly.
Just drinks and Celine.
Yeah. Drinks and Celine. Wow.
I'd go hungry for Celine.
Oh, I'd work for that company
easily.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
That's a great company.
That's
party.
A cool gig.
Yeah, congratulations.
It must have been fun.
Thank you. Oh, absolutely. And it was a surprise. We didn't know. We weren't told ahead of time. It was like, oh, it's just somebody. It's going to be there. We're like, okay, sure.
How many were there of you? How many local entertainers were brought on?
Maybe 10 of us. And we weren't told till the day of the event. It was just kind of like, oh, you'll do this, and then you're opening for a special guest, blah, 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 blah. And usually it's like, you know, the CEO of the company or somebody coming out, and they said it was going to be a performance. And we're like, oh, I wonder who it is. And then just very nonchalantly, like during the tech in the afternoon, oh, blah, 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 you'll do this, yada, yada. And then Celine Dion's coming out, and I was like, I'm sorry, what? I thought maybe like an impersonator, like sure, because that happens sometimes. Where they're like, we're having Britney and Michael Jackson. And you're like, okay, cool. Impersonators are coming out. Neat. And then... lo and behold, this light comes and she just like walks into the room and I was like, oh, that is actually Celine Dion. This is happening. Okay. It was pretty epic. So
that's the best Celine impersonator I've ever seen.
Wow. It's incredible.
Are you in Legends?
What?
Are you at the Trop? She's like, yes.
She would totally just roll along with it.
She'd be like, oh yes, you should come to the show.
Start speaking with a Russian accent or something to throw you off. Jacqueline, you've done so many different kinds of gigs around town. You're probably very comfortable here today as a frequent Monday's Dark performer, and you've done a bunch of different shows. How long have you been in Vegas now?
It is coming up on my 4-year anniversary. I moved here in the summer. I had not been used to 115 degrees, and I was like, oh, it's not going to be so bad, and then I got out of my car and was like, well, what in the world have I done? Where am I? But yeah, and lo and behold, 4 years later, here I am. I did not expect to be here this long, but that's kind of the magic and beauty of Vegas. Because I'm from a small town in Georgia, Snailville, Georgia, where everybody's somebody. And like, you know, think of Vegas, everybody thinks of just the strip and like, oh God, Sin City. But then you get here and you realize there's so much more than just the strip. And that's one of the things I love about the city. It's just it's a big small town. Really. Mm-hmm. And a lot of stuff to do. So
now, did you come out here for a specific gig that brought you here, or did you come out here and go hunting?
Yeah, I came out here for a gig in particular. I was working on Royal Caribbean as one of their production singers, and there's a acapella group in town called Mosaic. The guys have been here forever, and they're basically based in Vegas, and they do a lot of gigs out, and they happen to be the guest entertainers on the ship. And I was blown away when they were on, and I was getting a little tired of living at sea and wanted to find a place to live on land, which is funny to say.
A dry.
You know, just somewhere dry. Place. Where the ship doesn't rock, you know. And he had a kind of like a girl version of his acapella group, so that kind of brought me here. And then we were based in Vegas and did like guest entertaining on ships, and that kind of introduced me to the whole Vegas world. And then things just kind of... unraveled from there. I joined Vegas the Show, and then did Baz, and Postmodern Jukebox, and then all the random in-betweens, as you do when you're in Vegas. Vegas is definitely the city of random when it comes to gigs and whatnot.
That is a pretty impressive, though, journey in such a short amount of time. Coming, you know, as a kid who moved to New York at 20 and started auditioning, for you to roll in town, obviously, I remember that group that they put together. I remember seeing the clips and the videos that you guys were putting on social, and they've performed with us a bunch as well here at Monday's Dark. And to be able to bounce out of that right into Baz, right into Postmodern, like, those are no small feats. And those are two shows, Baz and PMJ are two shows that are so well done on such a high professional level. Now, that's a big tip of the cap to you. And
thank you.
Don't take that for granted. That's just me complimenting you. I think you're fantastic. And those, to be able to just, I'll go to Vegas, get off the boat, and then hit Baz and hit Postmodern, that's something there. That's special. You're a magical unicorn.
Vegas has been very, very good to me. So I feel very lucky. And yeah, those two have been just amazing to be a part of, for sure. I'm still a little heartbroken over Baz being close, but we won't go there.
We all are.
Yeah.
Or we will go there.
Oh, that was a blow. That was a big blow, for sure.
I'm just realizing now, you are our third guest on this show that was in Baz.
Oh, yeah?
That was our third female performer from Baz. Oh, we had Anne Martinez, and we had Ruby.
Love Anne. Oh, Anne and Ruby, two of my favorite people.
Yes, I love that show. I still love that show. I miss it a lot. You played multiple roles in that show during your run, right?
Yes. I started out as a swing, so I ended up playing everybody at one point, and then I ended the run of the show playing Juliet for the last couple months that it was open, and that was wonderful. So I have to say, I mean, all of them were special in their own way, and it was definitely a challenge to try to hop into somebody else's shoes every night and kind of be like, who am I tonight? Where am I going? But then, you know, Juliet kind of has my heart. But yeah, it was a really wonderful experience for a lot of people in Vegas, just because when I first moved here, it was when the string of like a domino effect of everything closed. I was like, here we go. There's all these musicals. And then one by one, I was like, oh, and everything's gone. So it was nice to have a piece of theater on the strip. Because I mean, the Smith Center is great, but like, you know, things come and go, and it's nice to have local people get to be a part of, you know, a theatrical scene in town. So hopefully, fingers and toes crossed that comes back.
I think so.
You know,
I'm a big fan of Shane Shale and the For the Record team. I've been a friend of Shane's for a long time, but more so a supporter and just somebody who believes in what he's doing. And seeing how far they've come with these amazing creative pieces, not just Baz, but the John Hughes and the Scorsese piece.
Absolutely.
These are shows that should be in Vegas. And I, you know, it's funny, I've texted Shane a couple times saying, hey, I know your Scorsese set is in storage in LA. It'll fit perfectly in my space.
Yeah.
You know, so that's always been there in the back of my mind, just because I know how great these people are.
Mm-hmm.
I also, you know, again, I think that's a sort of a testament to the shows, because the people who are a part of them are also great people, you know. And I just miss that show. Baz was a great show. What they did in that room at the Palazzo, that showroom, that transformation, unreal.
Mm-hmm. Now, did you have to, doing different roles like that, obviously, like you said, you have to know what you're doing and you're jumping into a different thing every other night maybe, but did you have to change the way that you sing for those different characters?
I mean, yeah. I mean, the beauty about Baz was that it was a theatrical piece. It was definitely musical theater, but they used all of the songs from the soundtracks of the films. So there was definitely a pop element to it, which is right up my alley, what I like to do. But yeah, I mean, it definitely helped me just kind of remembering everything to kind of put a different headspace on for each character. And like, this person leads with their body this way, they sing this way, and then, you know, trying to kind of bounce around from one to another. So it was like a helpful technique for me just to kind of remember everything that was going on, but, you know, help differentiate, you know, character into character.
Mm-hmm. Who are some of your singer influences? Who did you want to be when you grow up, when you were small and just starting out?
Well, my mom was a singer and my grandmother was a singer. So I was definitely influenced by some of their influences. My mom is probably the biggest Barbra Streisand fan that you will ever meet. She listened to her on repeat all growing up. So I listened to her a lot. But I mean, it's kind of cliche, but like Whitney Houston, I mean, there's a reason why she's, you know, I think the greatest singer of all time. But I probably listened to the Bodyguard soundtrack 100 times a week. Like, it was just on replay all the time. So I've definitely heard Mariah Carey, like all of the greats. But then also, my parents are both jazz musicians, so people like Ella Fitzgerald, of course, Ursula Dusiak, people like that. So it's kind of influenced from the pop, R&B, and jazz worlds kind of all combined. And then, of course, just my mom, because she was the person that I heard sing the most, because she was always singing around the house. So she's definitely a big influence on me, for sure.
How proud are they right now?
You know, they're pretty proud.
That's awesome, though, right? Like, it's cool to know your folks are out there. And hey.
Yeah, I mean, and growing up, I performed with them as well, which is awesome because my dad's a sax player. So that was a big influence on me growing up. And it's something that I, at one point, was like, you know, the singing thing is fine, but like, I'm going to go get a real job. I'm going to go to school. I'm going to be a pharmacist. It's going to be great. I'm never going to want to perform again. And they're like, good luck with that. It's kind of funny because it's usually the opposite. Your parents are like, please don't. God, no, don't be a performer.
Can we bring your family out and do a show at the space?
I mean, I think they'd be into
let's
it.
Let's get dad out here with the sax and your mom and
yeah.
You. We'll surround you with a full band and we'll just do it.
I'm down. I mean, that's kind of, that's what I grew up doing. So that's right up my alley.
I think that
and
would
I mean,
be awesome.
They taught me everything I know. So Oh, mom can sing. Let me tell you. Oh, yes. So.
And is she still in, what's it, Smallsville?
I mean, it was practically Smallsville. Snellville. Everybody, really somebody. Actually, both of them ended up moving out to Vegas, so it's very convenient.
They're here. Oh, no, no. Well, this is going down then.
They should have come here today.
They should have been in on this show.
Could have brought some extra chairs.
But they're
in.
Like, we're no tired. Problem. We could have had
Dad Kenny
tired.
G style just blowing his sax, underscoring this whole episode.
I missed opportunity. There it is.
Good job. We got the Kenny G quota mentioned in the podcast.
That's right. That's right.
Got a couple of those this year now. That's good work, Mark.
Kenny lives on.
Amazing.
Vegas the show. Mm-hmm. We were just talking about that. That's one of the shows that has been around on the Strip for a while that I haven't seen, actually.
Yeah.
It's on my list. What's it like performing in that show? It's at Planet Hollywood.
It's super fun. I mean, it's been here almost 8 years come August, so it's definitely one of, like, the mainstay shows on the Strip. I was saying before, it seems like a rite of passage. I feel like everybody at some point has been involved with that show. I mean, it's such a fun show. It chronicles, like, all the major Vegas headliners, like, from the 40s up to, like, the 80s, and it's a really fun show, and it's the last show that we have that has showgirls. So a lot of the dancers, when Jubilee unfortunately closed, moved over to Vegas show, and it's been great to have all of those veterans there. It's just, it's really fun. I mean, you get to do a little bit of singing, a little bit of dancing, which I don't always get to do. So I always will take those opportunities when I can to move a little bit. And it's been great. I mean, that was the first show that I joined on the Strip. So that kind of introduced me to the whole show world side of Vegas. But you should definitely go by and check it out.
I'm going for sure.
Oh, yeah.
I have to. Postmodern Jukebox is your current gig. It's at mm-hmm. One Oak, the nightclub, inside the Mirage. It's a resident version of the very successful traveling, touring Postmodern Jukebox show. How did that opportunity come together for you?
Luckily, a friend of a friend, they were thinking about doing, they'd done a short Vegas residency, I think it was maybe like a week or two earlier in the year to kind of test out what Vegas was like, because they'd only ever come here to stop for a night on one of their U.S. tours. And they were like, you know, I think we should try forming something together. So I got an email one day that they were looking for, you know, Vegas performers, and I know they reached out to you, Mark, because, I mean, everybody who does anything on the Strip always comes to Monday's Dark. So, of course, you have the Rolodex of all the performers. And they were kind of reaching out to see, would anybody want to be interested? And I was like, is that even a question? That people, like, maybe want to do Postmodern Jukebox? So I immediately responded and was like, absolutely, I think I might be interested. And kind of one thing led to another. And here we are. It's been open about 6 weeks now. And it's been fantastic. It's such a party.
It's like, it's interesting because that's, you know, people know about it. It's got a mm-hmm. bajillion YouTube hits, all these really fun covers of current songs and kind of old-timey genres. But I think it's even more of a thing for entertainers, right? Because it's got to be so much fun to be able to kind of stretch out what you do and use these different arrangements and sing pop music, basically.
Absolutely. I mean, that's the beauty of Postmodern Jukebox, is really no song is off limits. No genre is unavailable to use, because they've taken everything from like a heavy metal song and turned it into a jazz tune, to doing, you know, a pop tune and turned it into like a country bluegrass kind of a thing. And I mean, Scott Bradley really is, he's a musical alien. Like, he can take just about anything and turn it into something completely different. I think that's the beauty of the show itself, too, is that it reaches so many different audiences. Because if you go in, you'll hear a song from basically any genre of music that you might like in almost every age group. Because we do a lot of, like, top 40 stuff on the radio now, but then there's things like I Will Survive that are in the show that everybody knows. And it's really fun to see, too, like, the audience, if they don't immediately recognize the song, because obviously the arrangement's really different, as soon as the chorus hits and they're like, oh, that was Thriller. And then it's kind of like the light bulb goes off, and it's really cool. But it's fun for us because you never know what genre the song is going to get turned into. Because they said Thong Song was on the set list. Mm-hmm. I was like, what in the world
have you done that night
to Thong Song? And that is the one song I cannot get out of my head. every night that I'd just sing it nonstop.
It crushed. And what's crazy is I was with Cheryl. Mm-hmm. The minute it started, I was like, you have got to be kidding me. And Cheryl's like, what? I'm like, you don't know what this is? She's like, no. What song is it? I'm like, baby, let me see it. That's all I said to her. Yeah. And she started laughing. And the place went bananas.
Yeah.
Bananas. How often do they give you new songs to try out?
We're actually trying out some new stuff now. That's the cool part about it, because they're always changing up the set list to kind of see like what audience is responding to. But then also too, our special guests kind of rotate out. So some people will be here a couple weeks and then they leave, because the collective of Postmodern Jukebox is about 100 musicians and singers from all over the world. Wow. So like we're doing a residency now, but right now they're doing a tour of the U.S. There's a tour in Europe. So as people kind of become available, they kind of come through for, you know, like a week or two at a time and get to do a special guest. So if you come see the show tonight and you come see it a week from now, it'll be a different show, which is super fun for us because it always keeps it fresh and you never really know who's going to be there or what you're going to be singing.
How long does it take you to learn a song? Because it's a task. It's work.
Yeah.
People don't understand it's a job.
Right.
You know, the 9-to-5-er doesn't understand that as an entertainer, you have a job. So yeah. If Bradley says, hey, McSpadden, we're adding this to the show, how long does it take you from that phone call to performance ready?
That is a very good question. I think it depends on the song, because some of them, if it's like really rap heavy and there's a lot of words, that takes a little time. I had a friend of mine that says he cannot learn a song in less than 3 days. That's like his set period of time. I've gotten pretty good at learning them, because especially with all of the gigs and stuff you do in town, they're like, you're doing this, oh, we're switching out a song, you have to do it tomorrow. I'm like, I'm sorry, what? So that, I think making the lyrics like a monologue, trying to make a story of it, really helps me. So if it's like really down to the wire, I could probably learn a song in a day if I needed to, like if I did not know the song at all. But luckily with these, it's usually songs that you do know. So it makes it a little easier. Like, oh yeah, it's just having to switch up in your mind what the feel of the song is, stuff like that. So I'd say under the wire a day, but that's like...
That's pushing it.
That's pushing it, yeah.
I used to learn lyrics backwards. Have you ever tried that where you start at the end of the song and work your way to the front of the song?
No.
So, you know, whatever. I would literally get to the back of the score or yeah. the sheet music, and I'd start with that line mm-hmm. and then add the line in front of it. And that was just, that's more really technical and not making it personal at all, but just to get off book,
whatever
I would
works.
Start and go the other way, and that helped me a lot, because yeah. I am not good at, hey Mark, you gotta be at the Venetian for a corporate at 6, and I'd like, I literally felt as though I was giving a piece of my soul away every time I would do a gig like that, because I felt like I wasn't good, and I was like, and one of the teachers I had in New York a long time ago, just from a technical standpoint, made mm-hmm. me learn the lyrics from the end of the song to the front of the song. So you're like building it. You're constantly yeah. adding. And that's very technical. It's not, you're not personalizing those lyrics yet, but that was just a quick way for me to get off book.
Yeah. But if you have to memorize Ooh. It, then I will have to try that. See, you learn something new every day.
Maybe. I'm excited to come back to your show just to see the new stuff.
Yeah.
And what's great, and we talked about this, there's no moment in Postmodern Jukebox where you're kind of like,
yeah.
Yeah. None. And every show kind of has that moment where you're like,
time to go get a drink.
Yeah, I can maybe go pee now.
Yeah.
Right.
It just, it goes. It is like a roller coaster. And when you are on it, it goes. And then it's like, hope you guys had fun tonight. And you're like, mm-hmm.
Well, that's
so
great
good.
To hear.
So
well,
good.
I mean, that's
well,
our
I think that's
goal.
A testament to the director, Ben, right? Did
yeah.
Ben direct this?
Yeah.
And then just sort of placing the music within a certain, you know, order so
right.
that it does feel like it's, but the talent that is with you out there, it's dumb. Mm-hmm. It's dumb. Each person sings and you're like, this can't get any better. And it gets better. It's just dumb talent.
Yeah. It's almost like you guys are topping each other with every song, you know?
It is like that every champion from America's Got Talent banged the champions from American Idol and then banged Donnie and Marie at the Flamingo and then Jewel got together with the president of Live Nation, and then all these stars just appeared in one room.
There we go.
That made no sense whatsoever.
Just a nursery of talent.
Go see Postmodern Jukebox if you're listening. Nursery of talent. Just go.
Mark, what did you think about seeing that show in that nightclub environment? Because this is something we were talking about before we started recording also. I'm hoping that that turns into a trend, but I thought that added a lot to the experience.
Yeah, I love it and I hate it at the same time. I think it works. By no means do I think it doesn't work. I think it works. I think they need to add a few touches to make it feel a little bit more theatrical. Right. Because I do feel like I'm sitting at a nightclub and some of the angles of the booths aren't complimentary to where you want to be looking. And I always just go back to the Palazzo showroom and what For the Record did for Baz. That renovation was designed specifically for that show, and there wasn't a bad seat in the room. And every seat that you were at, you felt special. You could choose to sit on stage at a cute little two-top cabaret table with a candle and be immersed with the performers, or you could get that cabaret table just off the runway of the stage, and then there were the rows. And so there wasn't really a bad seat, and each seat complemented the production. I think in this instance, and I know Matt Goss has performed in that room, mm-hmm. It even goes back to for Baz opening at Light before it made the move to the Venetian. Mm-hmm. Where they tried to make it work in the nightclub setting. It works. Do I think it's ideal? Yeah. There are parts that aren't ideal, mm-hmm. you know, and you see that as a performer. You're sometimes staring at the back of somebody's head. And that's cool in a sense where you got to turn around and look at the tap dance guy. And Turner, by the way, he's fantastic. Oh, yeah. It works. And the scrim that they put up and they make it work. The sound is great because that was one of the big concerns that I had, because sometimes nightlife sound is not set up for singer sound.
Yeah, it doesn't always translate.
It doesn't translate, you know, and people try to do concerts in nightclubs and you're always hearing entertainers bitch and moan about their sound issues. I think Chaos mm-hmm. literally just had some entertainer go, "The sound in here is fucking brutal."
Yeah,
and they have an amazing sound system. But it's not sometimes designed for in-ears and performers to be able to hear themselves and sing. I think it works. I think it's a freaking cool experience. I think if this show does what I think it's going to do, the Mirage should turn that club into more of a showroom that can double as a club yeah. and not the other way around.
Yeah, that would be the payoff from a trend like this. Where you make enough tweaks to a venue
yeah.
that it is built for live entertainment mm-hmm. at that point, but you can also use it for special events, clubby stuff.
I think there's the trend is going to the smaller, intimate room without question. These 2,500-seat theaters are sitting dormant. And what we've created here even, we've been approached by two strip properties saying, hey, would you be interested in moving the space to the strip? And that's a conversation that has started in the last month because they understand the flexibility that we offer here. I can have a banquet, I can have a fashion show, I can put up a band, I can do a For the Record type production, and we seat 300. And so the risk factor of trying to sell 1,000 seats or 2,500 seats for that matter has gone away. Then you have this awesome flexibility. I love small, intimate rooms, and I think there's a market for people out there who will pay more money to see a big name in a smaller room. If I were to say to you, hey, you're going to go see Celine Dion at so-and-so with only 300 other people, would you spend $1,000 all day long?
Absolutely. And I think that's the thing too for audiences as well, is it's like sometimes when you're in those 2,500 seat theaters or you're in a concert, half the time you're watching the artist to get a good view up on a screen, and then it's no different than, you know, sometimes watching it on your phone. Whereas a small, intimate space, you get a personalized experience. Yeah. And I think that's the beauty of Postmodern Jukeboxes, is a smaller, intimate space. You're up close and personal. I think that's just in general something that people will pay, you know, premium price to do, and it's something people want.
I don't think we'll see it anytime soon with the A-list headliner. That just financially right. will never make sense on paper. And to be able to see Bruno Mars at the Park, or, you know, Janet Jackson at the park. Yeah. That's incredible.
That's the Bruno Mars or Janet Jackson version of what you're talking about. That's those, the smallest room you're going to put them in.
Right.
Because otherwise it'll never make sense financially and you'll just lose your shirt. But I think, you know, with unfortunately with the departure of Donnie and Marie, that's a perfect room for Caesars Entertainment to dabble in this concept where it's a smaller room, it's much more intimate, and let's see who we can get in there and on paper make it financially sound. Because I think, I like I said, I would pay a little bit more to see somebody in an intimate setting than I would necessarily to go see them at T-Mobile and be in Section 208. You know, and they're still getting those prices for those A-list people. You're still going to pay $300 for a nosebleed in these big arenas. But I remember seeing Tony Bennett at the House of Blues on the Sunset Strip in Los Angeles. It sold out in minutes. Now, mind you, the House of Blues is still big, but it has that intimate feel. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I'm literally staring at Tony Bennett, and he's 20 feet away from me. And I'm like, this might never happen again. Now, mind you, knock on wood, he's still performing. And I love what PMJ and the For the Record guys are doing with the sort of in-your-face, immersive entertainment that is just at a high, high, high level. It's just there's nothing like it. Mm-hmm. I went off there for a minute.
We like to talk about this kind of stuff because we love shows, but also because there's only like 15 people that listen to this podcast, but they're all strip entertainment executives.
Exactly.
That's our entire listenership. Market. Yeah, Gastworth is listening to this right now. Mm-hmm. Kurt
still needs to do something in the lobby of his theater so that people buy more merch and they need to make it more of an experience. I know you're listening.
Wink, nudge, nudge.
Call me.
Let's play this game. We need to come up. We need to come up. Mark, you're the one who comes up with weird songs. You need to come up with a little theme jingle for this new segment, which is "Let us make you a show. Let us entertain you." Yes. We did this last time with Angela Stabile from Ex Burlesque. We talked about a modern showgirl show. Mark conceptualized an X-Men themed men's male review, which is incredibly sexy if you think about it.
A lot of CGI involved.
What's the jingle?
What's the jingle? It's your show. It's your show. It's a show. Don't you know? It's time for your show.
There you go.
That's it.
Done.
If we were going to build the Jacqueline McSpadden show, what would that look like? And you can't say Jacqueline sings Whitney. It has to be something other than that.
Bittersweet.
Here we go.
Memories.
Can it be that Mark sings for me?
Yes, that's right. And you just sit there and smoke a cigar.
Done. I think we nailed it. Done. That's the show.
I'd pay to see you smoke a cigar.
I mean, I'd pay to see you sing while I just stare at you. I think that's the wrong path.
This is your show. Your show.
That is a very good question. Well, kind of piggybacking off of, you know, bringing my mom and dad in to do something. My whole family is kind of in the arts. And my sister does visual effects for movies. So she works on, like, all the Avengers films and stuff like that.
What's going on with your family?
What is happening here?
We're just a bunch of artsy people.
You're
and,
like the
you
Spielberg
know.
Of Las Vegas all of a sudden.
But yeah, she's a pretty cool lady, I have to say. I mean, I could do a whole segment just talking about my sister. But she does visual effects, and it's something that we actually talked about. She's doing a top secret show that I cannot talk about for a platform that I cannot talk about.
That was my secret, visual effects sound effect.
I could see it. I really could. There's some new technology available that they're actually dabbling with for like TV film side of things. So that is almost like, how do I explain this? It's like large screens that of like 4K quality, like high content video, and then you can have this is probably incredibly boring, like markers on your body. Like, you've ever seen behind the scenes when they do visual effects and they have the markers and the kind of tracking movement.
Motion capture.
Exactly. And you can do that in a more of a live setting. And so we had actually talked about how it might be cool to do a stage show that incorporates some of that technology, and you need screens in terms of like a set, and you can put something basically anywhere in the world that you want it, anything that you can create. So something that would kind of involves the whole family might be a fun thing. Get sister on like the technical side.
Does she live
side.
In Las Vegas?
She might be moving to Vegas, but she actually lives in Sweden right now.
Because there's a huge motion capture scene in Las Vegas. I didn't know if you knew that.
I was not super aware, but it's something I told her she would look into.
So there's a group in Vegas, and they've the reason I know this is they came to tour the space. Mm-hmm. So they needed enough room for the stunt guy with all of his suits on to be able to do his thing. And they talked about just that, how he could be in the backspace performing by himself, and it's being presented on a screen in the other room live.
Right.
And it's the technology's nuts.
It's getting to the point where nothing is off limits, which is exciting, and it's super cool, and especially from a creative standpoint of trying to think, how can we use this? Because we know, like, for TV and film, all the possibilities, but how can you use that in a live setting or in a stage show? So I think it would be something
with
that would...
cigars.
You know? Lots of... I mean, there's got to be cigars. Lots of cigars, that is...
In a world where Jacqueline McSpadden wears a suit and smokes a cigar, comes a new film starring her mama, her papa, produced and created by her sister.
Do you have anyone in your family who has no talent, who's just like the bum of the family?
The cousin Jim that just kind of sits in the corner.
I have four siblings, and I feel like we're all just trash.
I'm boring now. I just realized how boring I am.
Yeah. No, I think it's because she's my older sister. So growing up, I kind of came in and was like, well, this is what you're working with, so you got to keep up. And I was like, damn it, here we go. And she's super smart, too, like really nice and pretty. And I'm like, oh, great. So I kind of came and I was like, well, I guess I got to live up to this now. Oh. So that's where, you know, things get. She's awesome.
How difficult
I love
for
you.
Yeah, terrible. Terrible.
You are also performing in the annual Golden Rainbow Ribbon of Life show.
Yes.
Later on this month.
Mm-hmm. In all your Tropicana. Spare time.
Well, it is such a fantastic event. This will be my third year doing it. And I mean, it's something that, you know, if you talk to anybody who's on the board, that their whole goal is to not to have to exist anymore. And hopefully that every show will be the last show and that we'll, you know, raise enough money. But it's such a fantastic event, not only from a charity standpoint, but it's super fun for us because so many of us performers, a lot of times our shows run the same times. So we don't always get to see each other. So it's almost like the one time a year we can all get together and see people do something different. And you get, like, from one cast of one number in a show, I'm sorry, in the show, you have people from six different shows on the strip. And it's just a really fun event, along with it being for a fantastic cause. And yeah, I'm really excited. This year's theme is it's the 50th anniversary of Woodstock. Mm-hmm. So they're doing kind of like an anniversary reimagining of the songs and artists that performed at Woodstock. So it's going to be super fun.
What are you going to sing?
I'm in Nick Foote's number, which is the opening number, which is Aquarius, which will be super fun. It's going to be lots of free love and bare feet and hugs, maybe some cigars. We don't know.
Yeah.
Free love and bare feet at the Tropicana. That's how it always is at the Tropicana.
I think that's about right. Yeah. It
depends.
So that's exciting. That'll be June 23rd at 1 p.m. And it's going to be a great time. And there's a silent auction ahead of time and just a really fun show.
They raise a lot of money from that event. It's a great, great group. And, you know, to see the support that they get from the entertainment community is awesome. Awesome.
Okay. The time has come.
It has.
It's time for the Vegas You Need, where we tell you awesome Vegas stuff that you must check out. Jacqueline,
yes,
you get to go first.
Oh.
What is your choice?
I mean, I could do a shameless plug for this show at the Mirage called Postmodern Jukebox.
I mean, we've done that.
But yeah, we've covered that. I would have to say my go-to post-show snack, meal, meeting spot would be Sapporo. On Spring Mountain. It's a revolving sushi place, and it is just wonderful. And they do a happy hour, and I'm like, I love good sushi, and I also love inexpensive food. So it kind of marries those two in a beautiful union, and you definitely have to go check it out.
I haven't had a conveyor belt sushi experience yet, but I've heard nothing but good things about this place, and I think...
What?
Well, you know, it seems kind of gimmicky. I think people might assume that the quality of the food is not that great because of that factor, but not the case.
Not the case. I mean, it's so busy and it's so popular, I have to say, that, I mean, that's not sitting on the conveyor belt very long. Mm-hmm. It's super fun because the conveyor belt goes around, and then if you want to order things off of a menu, it comes with a boat that sings a little song that comes to your table.
What's the song
so, it sings? You know, I couldn't tell you, but I think it that may be another market for you mm-hmm. to come up with a sushi boat song.
Thinking. And I'm taking notes here.
There we go. But that is definitely my pick.
Sapporo. Sapporo Sushi on Spring Mountain. Mark, what the hell is your pick this time?
I've been bouncing all over the place thinking what I wanted to do or pick. And then it dawned on me, I was just at, and I hope this was never picked in the history of all the Vegas, but it's a coffee shop on Spring Mountain. Was it picked?
I think.
Do you know what I'm thinking?
It's okay to pick things twice.
Was it picked?
I don't know.
No?
I don't know what you're going to say. Gabi? There's several coffee shops.
Gabi?
Oh, it's the best.
Is it picked?
I don't remember.
I don't think it was picked. So I was just there recently for the first time for a meeting.
Mm-hmm.
This place is outstanding.
It is.
The coffees are fantastic. The vibe of the whole, there's like a greenhouse in it. And then there's this really cool thing at the back of the coffee shop where it's like tiered, and you have to take your shoes off, and you
did
can go sit up there.
But did you do the slide?
I didn't do the slide. I have a big ass, and I was splinters, and just, no.
No go.
Because I was going to do something to sort of coincide with Postmodern Jukebox at the Mirage, but everybody who's listening is going to go see Postmodern Jukebox. Pick a restaurant at the Mirage. But then when you want to have a coffee meeting, I don't know if I'm saying it right. Gabi Coffee.
I believe you're saying it right.
Yeah. I don't think it's ever been done on this show. Gabi Coffee on Spring Mountain. It's off the hook.
You did pick a good thing because you go down Spring Mountain. You're a local. You're going down Spring Mountain. You get your sushi.
Right.
Yeah. Go have a coffee afterwards. Fuel up a little bit.
And then
they got
the
dessert
Rush.
There too, don't they?
Oh, yes, they have dessert.
So that's where you go for dessert. Spring Mountain's how you get to the Mirage, baby. You turn in the Treasure Island garage. That's how you get there.
You know what I want to do?
We have a whole evening.
I want to buy a plot of land on Spring Mountain and open a parking garage. Because all of these badass places on Spring Mountain that I love to go to, I literally want to stab somebody in the face by the time I get to park at some of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there's so many popular places.
Oh, my God.
They just have regular, the one really long, skinny parking lot, that strip mall where, like, fuck him long.
Oh, yes.
I just wanted to say that out loud.
Golden Tiki.
It was important.
There's never any place to park.
That's the worst parking situation.
There's a million awesome
places.
People
are bitching about Raiders Stadium. I can't get my Golden Tiki on.
Right? Mm-hmm. I think if you tried to eat at every place on Spring Mountain, you would probably spend a year. There are so many spots.
I don't know if it can
good.
Be done. I don't think it can
be
done.
And that little
sexy dessert place.
Sexy dessert.
Raku Sweets?
Yeah.
Raku Sweets. See, there's so many picks.
Too many picks.
For me, they all
Gabi Coffee Shop. I got to reel it back in. Otherwise, right. We'll just talk about Spring Mountain.
We could just talk about food.
I'd like to be a prostitute on Spring Mountain and just walk up and down and get picked up and brought into all these fun restaurants.
I'm available. You'll eat like a king.
Now I'm trying to think of to change my pick to something on Spring Mountain.
You could do Raku Sweets.
No, I'm going to stick with my original show choice, which is the new Brian Newman After Dark thing at the Nomad restaurant at Park MGM. He's a New York City club guy. He's a real big deal, a great jazz singer and trumpet player. He's Lady Gaga's band leader for her jazz and piano shows, and he's here while she's here doing a residency of his own at the Nomad. It is at the Nomad restaurant. It's not in the bar where they have other live entertainment. It's in the actual Nomad restaurant, which is a stunning, stunning, amazing place. So if you haven't gone to eat there yet, which you probably haven't because it's expensive and very fancy, this is your chance to go check it out.
And see some awesome music. One of the best musicians on the planet right now.
And, I mean, a very good chance that Lady Gaga ducks in there too.
Well, that goes without saying.
After she's done making her appearance at Monday's Dark. This upcoming Monday.
Well, what's great about Brian, and this tells you the kind of guy that he is, I slid into his DMs
with a cigar. Yes.
And I just let him know. I said, hey, Brian, you know, Monday's Dark. This is what we do. And he knew what it was. He was like, hey, man, thanks for reaching out. I said, we're doing a Gaga night on Monday. And I said, I know you have a couple shows with the lady prior to. I don't know if she's going to be sticking around in town, but I know you are because your show's coming up at the Nomad. And he's like, what time do I need to be there? So there's a good chance that Brian, if he gets out of his rehearsal for his Nomad gig, may pop in. That's a great pick because I think it goes back to what we were talking about just earlier, is that here you are going to see kick-ass entertainment in an intimate, sexy, awesome place. Like, the Nomad is no joke. I am so glad it's there. It is my go-to after Golden Knights games. It is just a sexy joint. Everything at the park is, to me, spot on. And this is a huge addition.
Jacqueline, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
So much fun.
Yes.
We're bringing Mom and Dad to the space. We're doing the McSpadden family reunion show.
Yeah, I'll buy a box of cigars. She's never gonna get your songs ready to go. Oh no, I'm not letting you go. You're gonna sing for sure.
I'm sitting while I stare at you
and Mom and Dad play. It'll be fun.
Go see Postmodern Jukebox Hideaway. It's Tuesdays through Saturdays at 7:30 p.m. inside One Oak at the Mirage, and that Golden Rainbow Ribbon of Life show is Sunday, June 23rd at 1 p.m. at the Legends in Concert Theater at the Tropicana. You can get tickets at goldenrainbow.org. Me and Mark are teaming up with the Palazzo for a very boozy event. This is amazing. This is like first All the Vegas
outing
party. Save the date for July 25th for the Shake Off cocktail competition at Electra Cocktail Club at the Palazzo.
Shake Off. I think we roll in with 80s spandex aerobic outfits with shake weights.
I think that's a win. Yep.
We're going to have to fine-tune that idea. Stop doing the shake weight thing. It's very distracting. Me and Mark, what we're going to do is we're going to go head-to-head.
Yeah.
Creating some tasty beverages. You're going to come and drink a bunch and pick party with us and vote who is the winner.
Now, talk about sexy little bar. Electra.
It's the newest hotspot in their collection of awesome cocktails.
If that was
bars.
Open when you guys were running Baz, I would be there pre, post, middle.
Absolutely.
I don't know. Intermission? There was no intermission.
We'll talk about it some more, but July 25th, save the date.
Put it in your book.
Monday's Dark, we already said, doing the music of Lady Gaga June 3rd to benefit the Grand Gift Autism Foundation here at the space, and then following it up June 17th to raise 10 grand for the Shade Tree. Mark, what else you want to talk about here at the space?
Earth, Wind, and Fire that night.
Oh, shit.
We're doing an Earth, Wind, and Fire night.
Oh, my.
And we're bringing in more horns than you know what to do with. So June 3rd is Gaga night for Grant a Gift Autism. June
17th.
17th is the Shade Tree, Earth, Wind, and Fire theme. Christina Bianco, I'm not sure when this is going to air, but Christina Bianco is Saturday, June 8th. You've seen her on Ellen, on RuPaul. She has over 10 million views on her YouTube channel. She sings. She's from New York, and she sounds like everybody under the sun. If you said, sing Celine, all of a sudden, if you closed your eyes, it was Celine up there. She does everybody. She's been all over the place, and I'm so grateful that she's coming to the space Saturday night, June 8th. It's just a lot of fun stuff in the works. Evil Dead the Musical is on tour. It's coming to the space in October.
Yeah.
You know, things are good. Tyson Fury's fighting at MGM on June 15th. I'll be there hosting that. It's the first time I'm hosting with Top Rank Boxing in Las Vegas. So I hope to see a lot of familiar faces at that fight. It's really exciting. Yeah, it'd be a great fight. He's big and crazy and fun.
Heavyweights.
So, yeah, that's it, man.
If you are listening to this and you have a favorite Vegas entertainer you think would make a great guest on All the Vegas, I don't care. No, I do. Shoot me a message at All the Vegas at LasVegasWeekly.com. Take a few seconds to rate and review our podcast on Apple Podcasts. Tap those stars, because otherwise no one's ever going to find out about how awesome we are and how much you love listening to us chatter about Las Vegas. Did you miss our conversations with Asia Wilson from the Las Vegas Aces or Chef James Trees, who just opened Ada's restaurant at Tivoli Village this last week? You can go back and get them at allthevegas.com. Thanks once again to Jacqueline McSpadden. Thanks, as always, to Mark and Ken. And thank you for listening. Drive carefully. Come back soon.